This episode brought to you by Own the Gray podcast. Discover how others age with attitude at ownthegray.ca.
Today we have a very special episode for you. We're having a question and answer session with our own in-house healer, Deborah Jones. It's a fascinating episode as we gain insights into the practice of alternative healing, and in particular, Deborah's philosophy about the mind-body connection and the ability of the body to self-heal. It's entertaining and informative. Don't miss a minute.
The best conversations happen when we're having lunch with our friends, especially when one is a healer. Pull up a chair and join us to expand your knowledge and open your mind.
Deborah Jones, RM, is a Reiki master specializing in stress, anxiety, and depression. She is the featured Reiki master in the Wellness Story documentary, author of The Successful Healer, and director of the Successful Healer Academy for Energy Medicine. She helps those who seek personal development, empowerment, and self-awareness. Known as the Healer's Healer, she can perform and teach a unique range of natural health disciplines and spiritual philosophies that help people to become their best selves.
Hey, Deborah, this is like so much fun to actually be talking to you about what you do and getting a little more information. I have been to you as a healer and it was phenomenal. So now I'd like for other people to get a little bit of what I got. So my first question for you is actually, what does a healer do?
That is a loaded question. It sounds like a simple question that would have a simple answer, but when I looked up the word healer in the dictionary, what it says, and I can actually read it to you, one of them, the Oxford Dictionary, it says a person who seeks to cure diseases or heal injuries by means other than conventional medical treatment. That's what the dictionary says is a healer. I believe it's wrong. I believe that I am not the healer. That you are the healer. So what does a healer do? Then a healer creates an environment in which you can do your own healing. That's what a healer does. There are people that might disagree with this, but as far as I'm concerned, when somebody comes to me that needs healing, the only way that anything is going to happen is if they choose to do something different, i.e. take something different, think differently, be different in some way. And that is the healer. You are the healer, not me.
How do I know if I need a healer or in comparison to, say, a medical doctor? Like I've been to medical doctors. I'm not feeling any better. How do I know I need a healer?
That's exactly it. Most people will come to me when they've exhausted the traditional medical route, or they are curious as to why they're not getting better. So usually people come to me as the last resort. They've tried so many different things. They've tried to sort it out for themselves. Then they've gone for medical treatment or pills, basically, and that isn't doing it for them. So the question, when do you think you should go see a healer? I would say it's when you've hit a brick wall. There's benefit to seeing a healer before you've hit the brick wall. But if you've hit a brick wall and you can't seem to be getting the result that you're looking for, then that's when you would seek out a healer, somebody that can look at your situation from a different perspective.
Just to clarify, you wouldn't be considered a naturopath, that type of alternative healer. You don't dispense natural supplements, things like that. What modalities do you use that separates you from other alternative healing?
Yeah, so you're right. I don't prescribe anything. I don't say you need to take this supplement or that supplement. I work with a holistic view of who you are. So if you do need supplements, absolutely go get supplements. If you do need medicine, absolutely go get medicine. But those are just a fraction of the aspects of who you are. And a big part of what's going on for you is your emotional state. Now, what kind of doctor will take care of your emotional state? They're not trained to take care of your emotional state. They're trained to look at the black and white at the situation. Something is broken. This is what fixes it. But for me, when a client will come to me, I will listen to what's going on for them. They will share with me where they're at, how they're feeling, what's going on for them, if there are any physical ailments and things like that. And it's that listening that gives me the clues as to what they need. And to answer your question, what do I do if I'm not prescribing pills? I'll work with the energetics of who they are. So that's a big topic in itself. And there might be some questions after I've said that, but I work with the energy of what's going on for you and the energy that you present to me.
So depending on where their pain is it based on what their emotions are?
Absolutely.
So if they're struggling, you know, say with confidence, or if they're struggling with chronic pain, or, you know, maybe say in the legs. So what is the connection between the pain in the leg and maybe the emotional connection?
Again, we could do a whole podcast on that one topic itself. But to kind of summarize it, I do believe that every physical ailment has an emotional component. There's something going on that if you dealt with the emotional component, the physical ailment responds to that. And so you might have heard of Louise Hay. She wrote a book called Heal Your Body, Heal Your Life. And I have the book that she used to get her connections between the affirmations and the physical ailment. And this book is called Messages from the Body. And it goes into total detail about exactly what's going on for you. For instance, if you come and you've got an injury on your finger, I will look in the book and I will go to hand. And which hand is it? Left hand. I'll go to left hand. Which finger is it? Middle finger. I'll go to middle finger. Which section is it? The middle section. Is it bone? Is it flesh? And that will be the emotional component to that ailment in that particular place on the body. Now, how can this book, which is as thick as War and Peace, have been created if that did not make sense, if there was no connection there? And I've been using this book for the 20 years that I've been doing this work, and it hits the nail on the head every single time. And so when somebody comes to me with a physical ailment and I go to this book and I read to them what it says in the book, their mind is blown. How could I possibly know that? And then we get to the crux of the problem, and then now we can deal with it.
Does this work at a distance as well? I mean, it's energy-based healing. Do you always do it hands-on? Can you do it equally as well virtually?
I wouldn't even say equally as well, but virtually is actually even better. I was very skeptical about that at first. I've learned how to be a distance healer with Reiki. And my first session, I gave it away free because I didn't believe it could possibly work. But what I found is that if I'm working with you where you are, and I'm focused on your energy and your energy field, I can tap into your energy field even more precisely because I don't have the distractions of the time and space and the energy of whatever else is going on in your energy field. I can tap into your energy field in a very, very precise way. So yes, I can do it both ways. And what I've found, especially with COVID, now a lot of my clients' sessions are through video or through phone, that they're actually even more powerful and more precise.
Would you consider yourself an empath? Do you feel your patient's pain? Does it go through you? I know that, like Leslie, I've had a few sessions with you, and it was like you were taking in my resistance or my blocks, my many blocks, and you're expelling it through you. It seemed like that to me.
Yeah. So that yes, that was happening. Am I an empath? Yes, I think we all are. As far as do I feel what you're feeling? So if you have a pain somewhere, do I feel it? I can. It depends on whether or not I need to. So having said that is when I start working with a client, I don't have a preconceived notion of how that's going to go. I don't have a set way that I work with anyone. I take each situation at face value, and I am presented with what I need to see or feel to help this person. Because my question, if you want, to the universe, if you will, is how can I help this person? And so if that person hasn't told me about a physical ailment, yet that physical ailment is the key to what's going on so that I can help them better, then I will get a twinge in a part of my body. And I might ask, do you have anything going on with your left hip, for instance? And then, oh yeah, right. It's quite incredible how that will tap in. But as far as what you were saying, Susan, about how I might be able to pull energy out, let me simplify that. If there's a blockage or disturbance that should not be there, that will prevent you from being at peace and in harmony with yourself and in alignment, and it needs to leave, the environment that I create allows it to leave, but sometimes we need to help it. And what I found is if I use my breath to kind of grab that energy and breathe it out for you, it leaves. And that's the simplest way that I can explain it. And it sounds kind of weird and wacky, but I do a lot of breath work in a healing session. And I teach my clients how to breathe more deeply so that they can do it for themselves.
How do you protect yourself when you're taking in someone else's energy? So the transfer of the energy, there has to be something where you protect yourself with, you know, white light, or how do you protect yourself?
That's a great question. And it is the reason why you'll hear a lot of stories about healers getting burnout, because they don't know how to move energy safely. And when I teach my students, I teach them all something called energetic hygiene. And so just as you brush your teeth all the time and you wash your body all the time, you also have to make sure that you clear your energy field of energy all the time as well. And if you don't, it sits around and it can be heavy and feel toxic. And I think that's what you're referring to. Mm-hmm. And so how do I protect myself is knowing that I'm working with energy and I guide it. So energy doesn't just disappear. It has to turn into something else or move somewhere. And so what I'm doing is I'm moving it from within your energy field through my breath and out somewhere. I have to make sure it's got a destination. And the destination is usually Mother Earth, is usually the ground. And what I do when I'm explaining this to my students is Mother Earth wants all the dense, heavy, negative energy because it's food for her. And so we can feed it all of this negative energy, and she creates flowers out of it. You know, she mulches it and uses it as something to grow something beautiful. And so that energy can be freely and easily given to the ground safely, and then something good comes of it. So it's just a transference of energy that's away from your energy field that it's bogging you down or holding you back. And then we feed Mother Earth and she shows us flowers because of it.
So on that note, I'm just curious, when I'm meditating and trying, usually unsuccessfully of late, to release blockages and resistance, I'm actually trying to blow it, like breathe it out. in my surroundings. Maybe I'm doing that incorrectly. Maybe that's why it's lingering. Should I be thinking about it going down, like grounding it into the earth?
Absolutely. Oh, really? Try it that way. Oh, really? Otherwise, it's going really? Into why your energy field. It's I'll going like around us, we have like an energy field, which is like a bubble. We're all in a bubble. And in this bubble, there's a whole bunch of information. And so when you're blowing out that negative energy, it might be still in that sphere, in that bubble. And it's just going to move around and still be there. And we can't get rid of it. So if you redirect your thoughts and direct that breath, and the breath is the vehicle for moving the energy, by the way. The breath is the key. That's why the deep pranic breathing and all of those things is, it makes us feel good after we've been doing it, because it frees us from all of the things we've been holding on to.
Is the bubble our aura? Is that the other name for the bubble? Because doesn't the aura come with many colors and have many meanings through their colors? Is that a true statement or not?
True statement. Is it true for you? So I would say from my truth, I see it as the same thing. And the aura colors are simply a visual of the type of vibration or the type of energy that's within your energy field in that moment.
So it changes constantly. So it's not something that is always there. The color changes as your energy and your mood changes.
It's a snapshot in time. It's just like taking a photograph. Next minute, it can be totally different.
Have you ever seen somebody come in with a dark aura, and then after a healing session, when you were both connected emotionally, that it's changed colors immediately and has freed them of their pain or of their stress or whatever it was that they were holding on to?
So to answer that question from my own perspective, I don't see anything. Now, there are different ways to perceive energy. And some people see it as colors around you, for instance. And some people hear things. And I'm a knower. I just know. So I don't see the colors, but I get a sense of what's in front of me just through knowing. And it's really difficult to explain that to anybody who doesn't do it that way. But as far as what you just mentioned, the clue to if the healing has been successful is something that I hear over and over and over again. And this one comment really answers that question. I feel lighter.
Deborah, I was thinking, you know, there might be some of our listeners who are very new to healing and who have never had an experience. What would be sort of the way that their first experience would be? How do you kind of start, and what should they expect from the beginning? And I'm not saying you have to give all of the details, but what should they be expecting?
I always ask the question, what do you hope to get out of the session? Because unless you know what you want to manifest, how could you possibly manifest it? And so what, maybe they thought about the answer, maybe they haven't, but they need to give me an answer in that moment so that we both know what it is they want to achieve. Otherwise, we're just, you know, I could do hands-on healing. It'll be nice. Thank you. On your way. Goodbye. And by the way, there are many Reiki practitioners that work that way. I don't work that way. I like to succeed in changing or helping my client change a situation. They wouldn't have come to me if everything is perfect. They come to me because something isn't right. They would have fixed it if they knew how to fix it, or that they were given the right treatment to fix it. But when they come to me, there's a big question mark. I don't know why this is happening, and I don't want it to be happening. Something's going on in my life and I want things to be different. So to answer your question, most of the healing is in the conversation before we do anything. And so I spend a lot of time, sometimes half, maybe even three quarters of the session talking and listening, because we get to the point, as I said before, about if there's a physical ailment, we can get to the emotional issue. I ask a lot of questions. I uncover, I turn over stones, things that you think are totally irrelevant to what you came to me for, ends up being the exact thing that you needed to look at. And so what can people expect? They can expect to be in a situation where they can share their deepest, darkest thoughts with somebody who isn't going to judge them, and that somebody they can trust. That's really the main thing. The main thing that I'd like to share is that's who I am, is somebody that you can trust to open up to no matter what. I've heard it all. There's nothing that can come out of your mouth that can shock me, that can make me judge you, because it's not about judgment. It's not about me. It's about you. And when you have the opportunity to voice your deepest thoughts, then that's why you become your own healer. When you shine light on what you've been thinking about but never dared to mention, or something that is relevant but you had no idea that it's relevant, that's when we can clear away anything that's been in the way and you feel lighter and you can get on with your life.
So to a lot of listeners out there who aren't keen on non-conventional treatments, honestly, you're a therapist who uses different modalities to heal, actually to help people heal themselves. I mean, to facilitate people to be able to heal themselves. Pretty incredible. I do have a question that I've been very anxious to ask you. I mean, we have a long history. I've known you for almost 35 years. And I know your beginnings were not a healer. And I'm really curious about your journey to where you are now, because not everyone can do what you do. I perceive it as being a gift. And how did you realize you had this gift?
So you're right. I wasn't always a healer, never saw myself as such. And I guess it came from me being in a position where I needed to go see a healer. Life threw me a curveball and took away my safety and security, and I didn't know how to move forward. So basically, how my clients come to me. And I did go and see a healer, Molly Sante, and she was an energy healer. The first touch point for me, I never really knew that it existed, but it intrigued me so much of how different I felt after I'd gone to see her that I needed to look into what that was all about. And so one thing that was her way of viewing the situation, which is something that I've adopted, is that anything can be healed. And it's possible to heal anything. And she helped me go through some really dark times in my life. And it was her inspiration that made me look a little deeper as to there's more to life than what I thought life was all about. So that's kind of what took me on that trajectory. I was an interior designer at one point in my life, and I discovered feng shui. Feng shui is about energy of the environment. And I realized that I knew what I was doing when I was helping my interior design clients, and I was using feng shui without even knowing it. So I knew that I had an understanding of energy. And so it just kind of blossomed from there, working with the energy of environments and helping shift the energy and move energy away and change the properties of energy to create abundance and prosperity and all of those things. But then I realized that the people in the environment, that was a factor I hadn't looked at before. And it was their energy that could make or break the success of the feng shui. And that's when I started looking into Reiki, and I looked and found somebody that could teach me. And the rest is history from there.
Incredible story. I have a question. You've mentioned Reiki a few times. Tell us a little bit about Reiki and what the benefits are.
Reiki, it was the first modality that I learned, but I don't practice Reiki by itself. So I combine all the different things that I've learned over the years for treatment, but Reiki itself is basically the way to tap into sensing the energy of a person. And so that's what Reiki is. It's a way to discover energetically what's going on. Now, there are different levels and different understandings and different skills in the realm of Reiki, but that would be the basic explanation.
So it's an energy, intuition, sort of a spiritual feeling or connection. Is that kind of what it is?
It depends on the practitioner. So quite simply, Reiki is hands-on healing, hovering your hands over the body and sensing things. And if you sense something in a particular area, you might keep your hands there a little longer. And if it all feels clear after a session, then everything has been cleared. That's a really simplified version of what Reiki is. But things like the idea, the spirituality side of it, that's all dependent on the practitioner itself. So it can go in lots of different directions.
Have you ever had any of your clients that you thought would make good healers, you know, had a client and, oh, this person is in touch with their healing abilities? And second one, have you ever come across clients that you felt had very negative or dangerous feelings inside of them or coming across to you?
Loaded questions. Okay. The first one, about clients having the ability or the sensitivity to be a healer. Yes, there's many of them. And I find that those that are open to the type of healing that I do are already tapping into their own abilities. And so what I find happens, yes, they could take a class with me or anyone else, but all they need is a little bit of encouragement and confirmation of what it is they were sensing or feeling. And then that either takes them down that path of being a healer themselves or just to be able to heal themselves better. So it's an awareness that they gain from having a session that way. Can you ask the second question again more specifically?
Have you ever come across clients that you felt had negative energy in them? And I mean, actually, like not demons, but like that they just were very negative, and that you really have to pull this negativity before you can even start the healing?
Great question. What I would say to that is we need to learn from the experience. And so if there's I call it dense energy rather than negative energy, because that negative is a judgment for many people. But a dense, heavy energy is there for a reason. What I like to do is discover why it's there, which is basically shining the light on it so that it becomes lighter and can leave if it's the reason for it being there is actually expired. I find a lot of people carry a lot of stuff years and years and years and years because they just don't know that they can get rid of it or don't even know it's there and just feels like they're walking around with a big heavy coat on all the time. That's why at the end when they say, I feel lighter, it's because we've managed to take the coat off. The coat doesn't fit anymore. The coat has no purpose anymore. The reason for the dense energy has come and gone. So we need to discover if that dense energy is there for a reason. Is it blocking something? Are they in an abusive relationship so that they need to have some kind of a buffer around them so that it can't get to their core? Now, if I were to go in and take that dense energy away, where does that leave that person? And so it's not always, it's not about me. It's not about me at all. I'm the one that's discovering or helping you discover what's going on. Now, once you know why that energy is there, why that denseness is there, then there's a healing action that happens and steps that you can take, things that you can do to free yourself from it. But I don't go in, I'm not doing anything to you. I'm allowing what has expired as far as protections and heaviness that doesn't need to be there anymore to leave. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Because I'm sure that some people listening, you know, have probably gone through traumatic events in their lives. Mm-hmm. And knowing that you can, you know, let this go out of you, I would think would be a very comforting feeling, because some things have happened to, you know, I can think of one person in particular thinking that I'd love to send to you, but she's had a very traumatic experience, no fault of her own, but carries it like a stone on her whole body, like you said, like a heavy coat. And to think that she could just at least get that out and then start to sort things out would be very beneficial. And I think I am going to actually recommend that she speak to you. You know, sometimes life does things to you and you know, as a child or a person, and it's not your fault and you don't know how to deal with it. So getting healed helps you deal with that's what I mean by negative. Some negative things have happened to people through no fault of their own and you don't know how to deal with it. So just try to get it away so that you can live a lighter life.
Yeah. And that's actually a really good point, because what I provide is a safe place. And many of my healing sessions simply involve meditation, guided meditation, body relaxation, muscle relaxation, and nothing much more than that, other than me holding space for that person to be in whatever it is they're feeling, without having the thought of it needs to be fixed or changed in any way. Now, that is very rare. It's called holding space, and it's basically allowing whatever is to be. And it's amazing how doing that is so profoundly healing. It sounds, you know, we can all do it, but there's a potential for a healer to have an ego. I am the healer. You come to me, I fix you, you go away happy. That is so far from the truth of what healing is. And that I make sure all of my students are totally aware of this. Nobody heals unless they choose to. It's got nothing to do with your skill, the modality that you use, the technique that you use. It's got absolutely nothing to do with that. They're all the same thing in a different package. But when you can put your ego aside and just be there, listen to that person so that they can get what is inside outside of them. So the words mean that it's come from the inside and it's now outside, and then hold space for them to be in that space. That's when the magic happens.
Some people would say that's what psychiatrists do. They give you space and you go and you sit and you talk. It's a safe space for people to tell this psychiatrist their issues. And it's the old Woody Allen joke. I've been seeing a psychiatrist for 45 years. Do you have clients that you've been seeing for 15 years or so that say that they're ready to receive your healing, but don't progress?
Let me just talk to what you just mentioned about the talk therapy aspect of it. There is a part of that that's important. And that's why I say allow the client to speak. But coming for a session means that we do speaking and we do energy healing. And so we don't just use the words, and we don't need to relive the trauma or the pain. And that's something else I want to get into afterwards. But we have brought to light something through the conversation. And then we use energy healing to move the energy away or shift it in some way. And that's why it's so much more effective than just talking. Back to, could you just reiterate your other part of your question?
The client who sees you, I don't know how often, but for say 10, 15 years, and says, Deborah, I'm open. I'm ready to receive your healing. Do your thing. And they keep coming back with blockages, and they think that they're open, but they're not. What do you do with people like this?
So I did have a client that we would do our energy healing session. And at the end of every session, I give the client a chance to share anything they want to, whether it's something that they experienced in the session or some aha moment that came to them. And I give them a chance to share something. This one client, when I would ask, is there anything that you want to share? She would always counteract that and say, what did you find? So she was expecting me to give her a diagnosis every single time. And she would come every week and we wouldn't be getting anywhere with the healing. Nothing was changing. And that's when I realized how important it is that it's the client that is the healer. And if she is not ready to heal, that's fine. But coming to see me and not wanting to take ownership of her own healing path, to change anything, to change a perspective even, or just simply to own her own healing, we weren't helping each other in any way. So there was that situation. I have clients that we have made 180 degree changes in their lives. And it's simply because they've been willing to make the shifts and changes as we go along. So I do have some long-term clients that book a session every month or just when they feel like it. There might be 5 years go by and then they come and see me again because I've taught them, or what I like to do is teach them the skills that they can heal themselves and keep going with it. But as far as seeing any progress, there's progress in the moment. And then there's a time where you embody that shift and that change. And I don't like to have a client for life. I would like you to be empowered to be able to understand what's going on. And that's really what I'm trying to do, is help you understand yourself. Once you understand why you have that pain, once you understand where that response is coming from, then you know what to do with it. And that's what I want to do as a healer.
What are the exercises that you give your clients to work on when they're by themselves? Is meditation one of the highly recommended ways of connecting to themselves and to their body and to their mind and soul?
Well, as we all know, meditation isn't the easiest task.
That's for sure.
and some people are ready for it and some people are not. But to be quite honest, there's something that I've been known for all the years that I've been healing, and that is to take 3 breaths. As simple as breathing. Remember I said that the breath is the vehicle to move energy? If you can take your 3 breaths, and so the first breath, you just take your breath. The second breath, you are focused a little bit more. But the third one is the one that actually does anything. And so if you just remember to breathe, take your 3 breaths, you know, do it while you're in the bathroom, do it while you're in the car, and you're just moving energy. That is the simplest one. You've got to breathe anyway, and you know how to breathe. So that is the simplest tool that I give for my clients to do. But I don't give my clients homework. I don't give them necessarily specific tools, but more of something to think about. And so often, sometimes journaling, or I like just to call it writing your thoughts down on paper, because some people have an aversion to journaling, but just writing down your thoughts, you'll start to see some patterns. So you are becoming more aware of your thoughts and what's going on. So those are the two main things, the breathing and the writing down your thoughts, so that you can have an awareness that you didn't have before.
You're also an author.
I am.
Of The Successful Healer. Is it a self-help book, or is it for other healers? And why did you write it?
So it is a self-help book directed at healers, but it is a book that anybody can read. And the reason that I wrote it is because I saw a disconnect between the healer's knowledge. So a healer would get a certification in a modality and nothing would happen from that. And I wondered, why? And they hadn't embodied their knowledge and turned it into wisdom. So in a nutshell, the book is another awareness tool for you to understand what's going on so that you can master your life better. The book called The Successful Healer, again, it focuses on a healer's journey and the different struggles, mental struggles, emotional struggles that we go through as we're healing. But that's why it pertains to everyone. So it's basically all the different aspects of our mental, emotional, and spiritual and physical life written down on paper in a book that you can go to. I've got this issue going on in my life. What do I need to know about it? It'll give you your answers because everything is energy and it correlates what's going on to energy to give you an awareness. So that's really what the book is about.
And you've also got a podcast, Own the Gray. You're one busy lady.
Yes, I am.
And that's about, can you just speak very briefly about that?
Yeah, Own the Gray, it was born from the Red Tent. That's something else that I'm working with, is empowering women. And what I noticed with the Red Tent, it's a women's gathering. Women of all ages come together and we support and share. And what I noticed is the stories that were being told from the elders in the group, I was always so fascinated by their wisdom. So Own the Gray podcast is a podcast that focuses on the wisdom that comes from age. So anyone over 50, there's actually a change that happens in our life from 50 onwards. That's another podcast. But what I wanted was to give voice to those that have the wisdom, because in our society, nobody actually listens to our elders. We kick them to the curb. They're useless. We're no good once we've turned 50. Our life doesn't mean anything. And I totally disagree. I think that's where we start to live. I think that is the most exciting time of our life. So I wanted to create something that would change the world and change the perspective on getting older and what that means, because it's not the end of our life. I believe it's the beginning.
Well, we all agree with that. Yes, ladies.
Yes, definitely.
I was going to say one other thing, but your healing is not just for women. You do it for men as well.
Absolutely.
Right? So that if there are any men listening, healing doesn't matter, men or woman, or if you do not identify in any particular way, healing is for you individually.
Deborah, this has been so much fun. And I can think of about 20 different topics that we are going to have episodes on just from this discussion alone. I'm very excited. And I hope our audience has enjoyed this. I know I have. I'm sure Karen and Leslie have as well.
I have for sure.
Absolutely.
I studied a lot of healing when I was younger, so I understand a lot of what you're saying.
Yeah. And I know everyone can do what you do. But they can't. They just can't. They can't. No, they can't. You're unique. Everyone's unique, but you. This is your one of your many areas of uniqueness.
Absolutely.
And thank you so much for being our guest today. And I hope everyone has enjoyed this episode.
Thanks. Thanks. I enjoyed sharing it and then sharing the secrets, the healer secrets.
Deborah, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
They can go to my website at deborahjones.ca to book a session online, or they can go to speakpipe.com/Deborah Jones to leave me a short message and I'll send them a personal reply. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, give us a 5-star review, and share it with your friends. And join us next time for Lunch with a Healer. Now you can share your thoughts with us. Your comments, questions, and suggestions are all welcome. Go to speakpipe.com/lunchwithahealer and record your message. Try it out today.